Good morning. I was glad I didn't have to call Danny and say, "You're up again." I appreciate him filling in for me last Sunday morning, and then Kurt doing that for me last Sunday night, being sick. I'm not all the way better, and I hope you can hear me. I'll try to speak up as much as I can. If you can endure my nasally voice this morning, I promise Barry will be up this evening. You will have to endure it two times in one day. This morning, I want to focus our attention on the first four verses of the Gospel of Luke. That's how we normally say it. But maybe it's more of a letter that Luke wrote to his good friend, Theophilus. Now, let's see if I can get this going. I want you to think, as we begin, of someone that you have in mind that has not obeyed the gospel yet. Or someone in mind that you know of that is not as strong in the Lord as maybe you would hope them to be. And let me propose that this might be the relationship that Luke had with Theophilus as he wrote this very long letter to him. The first of two letters, and we'll get to that second letter in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, near the end of our lesson. But I want you to think of someone that you have in mind. How can I help this person grow in their relationship with the Lord? Now, with that in mind, let's just read these first four verses together. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Now, for the majority of our lesson this morning, I just want us to look at these four verses. And I want us to notice a few things. I hope you can see that a little bit better. We're just going to be focusing in on the words in red. And once we get through with that phrase, we'll jump to the next phrase. But I want us to notice in this verses, what Luke is preparing for his friend Theophilus. He says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were not the only four accounts that were ever written about what Jesus did or what Jesus and God accomplished among the people. Seems to me that Luke had a lot of resources that were available to him. And noticing again, like verse 4, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. It is interesting that Luke is the longest book in the New Testament. It's interesting to me that Luke didn't just refer Theophilus. Now, I know there are a lot of accounts out there. There's been a lot of writing that people have done about what Jesus and what God has accomplished. And you need to stay away from these, because those aren't all the way truthful, but these right here, this group is really accurate. I've tested it, And I will refer you to these as you will know what the truth is. As Luke goes on to say that I needed to do this for you. So he says a lot of people have taken the time to write about the things that were accomplished among us. And that's the next phrase that we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at. The idea of accomplished is the idea of a plan and a purpose has now been completed. So he says, Theophilus, many have undertaken to compile an account of the things of which God has now completed. The plan that God had, the plan that Jesus had, are now accomplished. And many have taken the time to write about those things. Just noticing in this book, Luke chapter 4, and in verse 21, Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So I'm trying to answer the question, well, what things or what does Luke have in mind when he has these things that are accomplished? What did Jesus come to do? What was his plan? What was his purpose? What did Jesus accomplish? What did God accomplish? Well, one of the things that Jesus accomplished was obviously fulfilling all of what was written about him in the Old Testament. And so Jesus makes that very clear there in chapter 4, verse 21. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Noticing in the same chapter, verse 43. One of the things that Jesus accomplished, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." All the things that Jesus accomplished, all the things that Jesus fulfilled, well, one of the things was to preach, to proclaim that people would understand the kingdom of heaven. Because there was a lot of misunderstanding about what this kingdom was going to look like, what it was going to be like. They were expecting more of a Davidic kingdom. Well, he preached everywhere about this kingdom. Looking at chapter 5. And in verses 31 through 32, Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." One of the things that Jesus tried to accomplish that Luke wants Theophilus to know the exact truth about is how Jesus went about preaching and teaching those who were truly lost and trying to help those who were truly sick. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 22, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." One of the major things that God accomplished, that Jesus accomplished, that was now fulfilled, that Theophilus needed to know the exact truth about, was what Jesus came to do. He says, "I came so that I could be rejected, I could be killed, but then I could be raised up on the third day." And that statement is made throughout this book several times. But he says, "I want you to know about..." And this is a compilation of the events of which God has accomplished. Just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of these words. So these many accounts were handed down to Luke and to others who were who were eyewitnesses to the events that Jesus did when he was alive. And so this is not hearsay. This, I heard someone say that Jesus did this. These are accounts of those who saw it. And this is what I saw. And when they would tell the story, they would write it down. And they would write these events. These accounts were compiled by those who heard directly from those who were eyewitnesses. This is a very credible account, in other words. And it seemed fitting for me as well to write my own account, to write the events that God has accomplished among us. Luke wanted to write his own account of the things that God had accomplished among men. And Luke was, I would say, the very man for this job. He was a travel companion of the Apostle Paul. I think most of you are aware of the "we" passages, right? In the Gospel of Luke. Or excuse me, the Gospel, man, I missed that two times. In the book of Acts, right? In Acts 16, for example, in verses 6 through 10, Luke starts off by telling how Paul and Silas, and by that time Timothy, were traveling. And they wanted to go south into Asia, and the Spirit said, "No, I don't want you to go there." And then he goes to Troas, and he has that vision, right, of the man from Macedonia. We sing the song, "I have heard the Macedonian call." Well, Paul received that vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over here." And so Paul said, "Okay." And then it says, "And then we traveled to Macedonia." And so we get those "we" passages in the book of Acts saying that Luke is now joining with Paul. And so Luke was with Paul quite a bit in his travels. In Philemon, verse 24, Paul calls Luke a fellow worker. Luke was someone not only interested in, maybe we would say, the history of Jesus and what he did. He was a follower of Jesus. He wrote these things down so that Theophilus would know how to behave. And also in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul calls Luke the beloved physician, the beloved doctor, we might say. And then in the latter part of Paul's life, I'm convinced probably not too long before Paul died, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, as he is writing this letter to Timothy saying, "Please make every effort to come to me, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to live." In that letter in chapter 4 verse 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me." And that has led many people to believe that Paul might have had a great deal of support in this, we'll say, letter accompanied to from Luke to Theophilus, that he might have depended on Paul, who was, of course, an apostle. So he was the man for the job. It seemed fitting for me as well to write my account, this personal account, to Theophilus. Now again, he could have just said, "Now look, these are accounts that are really good and that could really help you." One of the things that really stuck out to me this week as I was looking at these verses is how much love Luke had for Theophilus to take the time and the effort and the energy to write what we would say the longest book in the New Testament. It seemed fitting for me to do it, as well for you, Theophilus. Well, not only did he just write it, notice what he did. It says, "Having investigated everything carefully from the beginning. Now, I notice at least four things in this little phrase that Luke did for Theophilus. Number one, he investigated, right? He took the time to do the research needed to perform this task. To investigate means to take the time to really make sure what you're writing is, as he would say in verse 4, the exact truth. What did he investigate? That investigated everything. Everything that Luke wrote down, we can be sure he investigated that. He researched that. He took the time to make sure that what he wrote was accurate. And he investigated everything carefully. He was involved in the details, as probably he was trained to do, right? As a doctor. Doctors, I want my doctors to really look at the details, right? When I go into them and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And usually they just say, you're a lost hope. Well, I want them to look at the details, right? He says, I investigated everything and I did it extremely carefully. I did it very diligently. And notice that fourth thing, from the beginning. Now, one of the things that is unique about Luke is he goes before any of the other Gospels. Now, I guess you could argue that John goes before Luke by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Yes, but the events that Luke writes down, Matthew starts with Jesus' birth. Where does Luke begin? Luke begins with Zechariah, right? And Elizabeth, and the birth of John the Baptist, 6 months prior to the announcement that came to Mary. And to Joseph that we find. So he took the time, I'm going to go to the very beginning. All the things that you need to know and all the things that God has accomplished. And in this phrase, to write it for you in consecutive order, as the New American Standard, I think the ESV, and you can just kind of nod your heads if this is right, the ESV says an orderly account. Is that correct? So, this is not necessarily in consecutive order or a chronological order. Luke took the time to say, now, I want to write this event followed by this event. So a very, very helpful thing to do, not only when studying the gospel, or we may say the letter of Luke to Theophilus, but Matthew or any of the gospels or any text, is why did he put this event right after that one? What was the purpose of this order of events? Well, Luke tells us from the very beginning, Theophilus, this is not just a hodgepodge of events that I'm just throwing together and, well, I ran out of events, so I guess this is it. This is your gospel. This is a very orderly, very consecutive, very thought out. We may say more of a thematic. And so it's up to us, right, to figure out what is the theme. What is the order? What was Luke thinking? And man, when we ask that question, and when we try to answer that question, this book, I think, will really come alive for us and that we can understand it in a deeper level. And then this phrase, most excellent Theophilus. Now, Theophilus must have been a swell of a guy, right, to call him excellent. Well, that is a title, some people think, that we see in Acts chapter 24, when he says, we acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. And Paul says again in chapter 26, verse 25, but Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. And so some people believe that Theophilus might have had a position of authority to be called most excellent Theophilus, most excellent Festus, most excellent Felix, who were governors. Maybe that's the case. Some take this a little bit differently. Theophilus is basically two Greek words shoved together. Theo, meaning God, and phileo, meaning love, right? So this is a lover of God, Theophilus. So some people think, well, Theophilus is really not a guy at all. that he is writing to people who love God. I tend to lean towards this is an actual person whose name is Lover of God. Many times people would give their babies names what they would kind of hope them to be. I think a good example of that would have been Onesimus, right? A servant, a faithful servant. He didn't really live up to, or useful, excuse me. Someone who is very useful. Maybe that's the idea here. I want this son of mine to be a lover of God. And maybe he had a title of position. And again, the purpose of this whole letter is given to us from the very beginning there in verse 4, something that we've already kind of pointed to or alluded to, so that you will know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. So is all of this new information for the most excellent Theophilus? Probably not, right? He says, you have been taught these things, but I want you to know the exact truth about these things. Luke wants him to know the exact truth. There were many false teachers in the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says the false teachers would secretly introduce destructive heresies among the people. There were those who probably changed events, how they would like them to be. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, but the Spirit explicitly says, or clearly says, that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Now just think about it, that Jesus did all of these incredible, miraculous, amazing things through God. Do you think there's a possibility of those stories being twisted or maybe changed a little bit? And then we play the, at least when I was in, I think it was my first year of kindergarten, not the second, we played this game of telephone where someone would give a message and that message would pass through about 20 of us kiddos. And it was amazing what the end message would be. It would have nothing to do with what the teacher told that first person. Now, do you think that is possible, that it's plausible that these stories might have been changed or twisted in a little way? I think that's a possibility. And so I think that's why Luke is saying, Theophilus, there are a lot of stories going on. But I'm writing this account, and I've taken the time to investigate everything carefully from the beginning so that you will know the exact truth. That's important, isn't it? To know the exact truth of what Jesus did, to know the exact truth about what Jesus taught. Peter would say, when Jesus said, "Everyone else is leaving me, do you want to leave too?" Peter said, "Well, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Pretty important, right, that we know the exact truth. Notice the emphasis of that in this fourth verse. That's why Luke wrote this letter. Now, we know Luke wrote another letter, right? The book of Acts. And he begins that book in verses 1 and 2, again to Theophilus. In Acts 1, verse 1, it says, "The first account," obviously referring to this one here, "the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, Barry did a lesson on the idea of what Jesus began to do, right? And then he took us through Acts and told us this is what Jesus is currently doing, right? And the story doesn't end, right? In Acts 28, it just keeps going. This is what Jesus began to do in Luke. Now we're going to see what Jesus is continuing to do. But that first account that I wrote is about what Jesus began to do and teach, right? So I wanted you to know the exact truth about both of those aspects until the day he was taken up into heaven. And of course, that's the final event that Luke writes down for us to Theophilus in this gospel. One of the things that, again, it struck me about this text is the love that Luke had for Theophilus. He said there are a lot of people that took their time to write or compile events about what Jesus or what God accomplished through Jesus. Luke said, "Theophilus, I care about you. And it is very important to me that you know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. And so it was important for me to write these things down for you so that you will know." The question for me that kind of stood out to me this week is, Who's the Theophilus in my life? Who is the person in my life that I'm concerned about? And the question that stood out to me is, do I know some hang-ups, some obstacles in their life that is keeping them from obeying the gospel, that is keeping them from being the servant of God that they need to be? Or maybe that is keeping them from being baptized for the remission of their sins. Maybe the hang up with Theophilus, he had been taught, but Luke says, I wrote this and I spent a lot of time on this so that you will know the exact truth. Do I know the hang ups? And then what am I doing to help? Certainly, God commands us to pray for them. But as I'm sure Luke did that for Theophilus. I'm sure he had Theophilus on his mind all the time, right? As he is taking the time to investigate everything from the beginning very carefully. says, I need Theophilus to know what the exact truth is about these things so that he can respond to not what he thinks is right or not what he or she said, so that Theophilus can respond to the exact truth. Do I have someone in my life, or do you have someone in your life that, you know what, I need to put more effort. I need to be the Luke to this person. And I need to do my share and do whatever I can to help them come to the correct knowledge of truth. So that means there's a sacrifice on your part, right? How long did it take Luke to write this letter? Probably didn't finish in a day. My guess is it took, well, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. But my guess is it took years to investigate everything carefully from the very beginning. Luke spent a lot of time on this. Why? Because he loved Theophilus. If you truly love someone and you're truly concerned about them, I will make the statement, you will make the time. You will sacrifice whatever you need to. And it's so easy for me to get bogged down in my own life and get bogged down in the things that I need to do, and to just say, you know what? So-and-so has written a really good book. Just read that one and you should be good to go on that subject or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the question is, are you shirking your responsibilities? Maybe it would come better from you. Maybe it would mean more to them, right, if you took the time to say, look, I've really spent a lot of time on this. And I really want you to know the exact truth about these things. Maybe that would be received a whole lot better than just a referral to an author that they may have no clue about. And there is nothing more important, right, than helping people know the exact truth. And helping people come to the knowledge of God. And for them to say, you know what? I need to make my life right with God. Nothing more important than that. You name me one thing that's more important than helping someone come to their good relationship with God. What are you doing to help? What am I doing to help someone like Luke helped his friend Theophilus? And referring back to Acts chapter 1, Luke didn't say, well, I'm done. The end of Luke. Now it's up to him. No, he wrote a companion letter, right? Says, look, I told you what God has began to do, what Jesus began to do. There's a lot more for you to know. There's a lot of information here that's really important for you to understand. You need to know the continuation. You need to know what God continued to do. And it's interesting that Luke wrote more words in the New Testament than any other person. If you compile all of Paul's letters, it won't match what Luke did with his letters to Theophilus. How much did Luke care for Theophilus? I would say a great deal. Question for me is, how much do I care about you? How much do I care about that someone who I know needs to know the truth? And then the question is, am I willing to sacrifice my time and energy and effort to help them with that? That's what Luke did. And I'm so grateful he did, because we are now the beneficiaries, right, of reading these personal letters that Luke wrote for Theophilus. Maybe there is someone here this morning who knows their life is not where it needs to be with God. Or maybe there are some questions that you have. And we would be doing a dishonor by saying, if you question your faith, then you're not doing very good. No, it is very good. It's very wholesome to have questions. Now, it's good to get those questions answered, right? To do what you can to try to answer those questions. Maybe some of you have a lot of questions. Maybe a lot of doubts in your faith. I think that's where Theophilus was. But I'm so thankful. I have you. I have many people I can go to and say, I have a question about this. And knowing that you're not going to, well, that's a dumb question. Say, hey, I probably had that question too. And you know what? We can help you with that. And if there is any need that you have that you can feel comfortable with us helping you with that, we would love to do that. And now's the time to do that as we stand and as we sing.